Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the post-show for night one of WrestleMania 37. My name is Nikki Heyman. I have Jason Block here at my side. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. What a night! First of all, most importantly, wasn't it awesome to see 25,000 fans in Raymond James Stadium?
It was wonderful to have fans back in the arena. It was wonderful to hear real fans. And huge shout-outs to the super fans that were in attendance. To Skinny John, to Brock Lesnar Guy, to Frankie the Clown, to our co-conspirator DJ Peckins. Who else did...
Vladimir, who was getting a documentary on the WWE, believe it or not. New York superfan Vladimir.
Yes, because... he deserves it.
Yeah. And so, you know, the if you want to go canon, the Undertaker was like, I'm not on the show this year, or I'm going to screw things up. So we had lightning and thunderstorms, which delayed WrestleMania by a half hour.
Which, to WWE's credit, they took this so well in stride. I was very satisfied because seeing storm delays at, say, a football game, you can feel how they're trying to, you know, they're scrambling for content. You know, what the hell are we going to do while we're waiting for the storm to blow over? WWE had that built in, I think.
Yeah, because you had Drew and Bobby Lashley confronting each other. You had, Kevin Owens shitting on Jim Cornette. Always awesome. And you had Seth Rollins,
being an absolute drip. I mean, doofus.
Dick, yes.
Doofus.
Yeah, that too. And stretching enough till we got to the first match, which was Bobby Lashley defeating Drew McIntyre in 1820. Surprised or not?
I don't mean to toot my own horn.
Mm-hmm.
But I did call that last night.
Mm-hmm.
This is why it went first. They still put on a banger of a match. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did. It was actually the longest match of the night. By about a minute and 10 seconds, strangely enough.
Still.
Mm-hmm.
They still put on an excellent match. MVP was mostly a non-factor, which was good, because you needed these two bulls to really, really lock horns.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see, in the course of the match, the level of emotion, especially on Drew's face.
Mm-hmm.
Drew was having a hard time holding it together early in the match.
Yeah, he was so pumped, he nearly missed the sword penetration.
That, and in the ring, during the match... He was choking up a little bit, like, real fans. I hear real fans.
Right, because that was emphasized in the pre-show and the opening by Vince. Okay. And you posted something very interesting, because positioning means things, doesn't it?
In this case, it does. Before the show began, Vince McMahon himself and the entire WWE roster came out as a thank you for the fans coming back. And as part of this arrangement, I mean, we got, you know, if you looked around, you got to see a couple of faces you hadn't seen in a while. There was a Jinder Mahal sighting.
Mm-hmm.
Drew Gulak was allowed to be out there. A few other names and faces escape me, but the front row,
in order, if I remember it right, was Stephanie. No. Triple H, Stephanie, Vince, Roman, Shane,
and Uncle Paul.
Was he on the same row? I thought
he might be. Might have been a little. He might have been a step back. But mm-hmm. You're right. Hunter, Steph, Vince, Roman, Shane. The tribal chief standing with the so-called royal family of wrestling. This is significant.
Foreshadowing?
I'm not looking at it as Roman turning 100% corporate. This is, simply put, this is where the face of the company should be standing.
Could be, yes. So, So where does Drew go from here, and where does Lashley go from here, do you think?
Well, Lashley being heel, we now have, you know, we now have some opportunities for people to chase.
Mm-hmm.
Drew can chase. I'm okay with that. We have the potential for call-ups. We also have Keith Lee waiting in the wings.
Yes. Give me Keith Lee and Bobby Lashley. Please.
Yes. There's two more bulls I don't mind locking horns.
Mm-hmm. So there were a lot of new commercials that debuted in between the matches. If I may step up there for a minute.
Sure.
Number one. And number one was, of course, more Night Panther doofusness with Hurricane and Drew Gulak. And
I need to go find all this stuff.
Yes, exactly. And Joseph Average, who I believe is another wrestler. I forget who he is. You had Baron Corbin being a doofus and getting into biker shorts, a biker outfit. Not
that, that was beautiful. That was absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, that was so funny. You had Kofi Kingston riffing on his not never landing on the Royal Rumble stuff.
Yes.
For Cricket Wireless. And most importantly to me, well, first of all, and of course, Austin promoting April 2022 Dallas, which is WrestleMania 38, which we knew. But we didn't know. We don't know exact date yet because, again, COVID. You know, we don't know where the pandemic will be in year three.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest thing was the first footage of WWE 2K22.
Yes.
They better fucking get it right at this time.
With Rey Mysterio as the featured wrestler, although I'm guessing he's going to be the DLC. We don't know who the cover wrestler is.
Let's see who. Well, if I was smart, I'd make Roman the head of the head of the cover. You know.
Absolutely, I would like to see him on the cover of on the cover of 2K22. I saw somewhere, you know, flipping around on Twitter, somebody said, "Let's put an NXT person on the cover." But who?
Don't know. Who? I mean, well, Finn.
I'd be extremely biased Karrion and say Cross. Finn. Karrion Kross. I don't know if he'd be. Wow. I'd like, you know, regardless. To just, you know, putting it out there.
But we'll see. So then we had the tag team turmoil.
Mm-hmm.
And it started off with Naomi and Lana versus Carmella and Billie Kay. Carmella and Billie Kay cheated to win against Naomi and Lana, but lost to, I believe, the Riot Squad, I think. Am I right?
I believe so.
Then I believe the Riot Squad pinned Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose, I think, if I remember right. And then Natalya and Tamina won. They are going to face Shayna and Nia tomorrow night for the tag belts.
And I don't think any of us saw that coming.
No, but it was good. I'll take it.
I'll take it as well.
It was okay. It was an okay match.
I think they did well. All the gals got to showcase a little bit. We had a minor announcer malfunction, but
Oh, yeah, that was Greg. Yeah, they announced the wrong thing. Okay.
But that's okay.
That was okay. Then we had a fun match between Cesaro and Seth Rollins. With Seth gets a new theme, which was very generic, sadly.
I could barely hear it. I could barely hear it. I'd be interested to hear it for reals come Friday. And Cesaro did not get any new entrance stuff, but he didn't need it. That's not what he was here for. He was here to humiliate the ever-loving daylights out of this doofus heel that Seth has devolved into.
Right, and he did so, and got his first WrestleMania win. And the crowd loved it.
The crowd loved it. Seth, deep down, loved it, because Cesaro deserves it. And people have been clamoring for Cesaro to be at this level for a very, very long time.
Yes, and Cesaro, I think, is now potentially a challenger whoever wins the Universal title.
Potentially, because I don't know if, you know, with that kind of rub, do they thrust him into the Universal title picture, or do they ease him in through the Intercontinental title picture?
Ooh, because of Apollo Crews? Maybe. Maybe. I mean, but like I said, I enjoyed it. It was fun. I'll take it. You know, I will take that. This next match was awful. I'm sorry. AJ and Omos are the new tag team champions. We expected this. But a friend of mine texted me tonight, and a quote says, Omos proved one thing, that he could make the great Khali look good. This was one of the two debuts tonight. Let's just say he was second, to say the least.
Omos still didn't show me any reason why I should have been anticipating his debut for almost a year. I give Kofi and Xavier credit, and I give the production crew some credit to try to add some more intimidation factor to Omos. Xavier and Kofi bumped like a pair of jobbers. To make Omos look good.
And it was sad. Honestly.
It was a little blatant, I agree. But this also puts AJ in Grand Slam territory.
Yep. So I believe after this match was the Hall of Fame or somewhere. You had the Hall of Famers, William Shatner, Jushin Thunder Liger could not be there, I believe, due to travel restrictions, of course, due to COVID. You had JBL, you had Bellas, Titus O'Neil. Bella Twins, and of course the NWO came out, and again, no one cared. Well, I mean, people did care. Oh, and a wild Bailey appears, which was awesome. They used her so wonderfully tonight.
Yes. First, getting completely blown off by the NWO, which I actually didn't mind. And then her crashing the announce table.
For the Hall of Fame.
Yes, and I agree that Bailey can do Michael Cole's job better.
Duh.
Michael Cole was off tonight.
I don't think so. I think everybody was off tonight. I think they weren't used to a live TV broadcast.
You think there might have been some comfort and complacency being able to do recorded events?
Yes. Yep. Not recorded events, non-audience events.
True.
Okay. there was some complacency to it because they didn't have any reaction to it. The Thunderdome is a controlled atmosphere.
Yes.
So, in another match that no one gave a rat's ass about, Braun Strowman defeated Shane McMahon, who had help with Riker and Elias. There were a couple of cool spots. Braun Strowman opening the cage.
Yes.
To get Shane McMahon back in. And Shane McMahon doing a front flip off the top of the cage. That was pretty much it. It was 11 minutes of our time that we'll never get back.
While Mustafa Ali and Ricochet are sitting backstage.
Pretty much.
Because Ali was there. I saw some wonderful pictures of him and how well dressed he was.
Yeah. Every girl's crazy about a sharp dressed man. So then we had the best two matches of the night. And this one shocked the fuck out of me. Okay. So we I'm laughing at this. We had a bunch of people in a bunny suits hopping down the ramp. And John Cena's calling gimmick infringement. And Renee Paquette said, Adam Rose better be in one of those suits.
I was hoping so, too.
Okay, but no.
Actually, my comment to Jamie Claudia was something of bunny return confirmed.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's the bunny, yes. So then the Miz and Morrison come out to hey, hey, hop, hop. And they attempt to sing, but they were not well mic'd. Fine.
No, I think it was supposed to be played up as bad lip sync.
Okay.
Bad, bad lip sync.
So Damian Priest comes out and does his Archer of Infamy gimmick.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then Bad Bunny does a full, you know, West Coast. He's on the truck and legitimately on the truck on the outside. I don't think that was CGI. He was holding on to a pole. Okay.
Yeah.
And Bad Bunny, that, by the way, that truck, if you looked very closely, was done by West Coast Customs. Okay.
Cool.
So Bad Bunny and Becky Lynch is saying, aye, gimmick infringement. Okay.
Oh, you don't mind at all. You were probably, besides, you got to keep yours.
Mm-hmm. So Bad Bunny and Damian Priest defeated the Miz and Morrison. But Bad Bunny, holy shit. I want your thoughts on this, because he surprised the hell out of me.
Bad Bunny was, you know, as a Lifetime fan, and, you know, I'm sure he's probably seen enough WrestleManias to see when a celebrity wants to go out there and perform in the wrestling ring. I'm sure he got the same level of headache that we all got when we saw a celebrity out there pretending to wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
So Bunny, knowing that his global reputation is on the line,
mm-hmm.
actually went to the performance center and said, "Yo, you know, train. You know, I want to be ready for this."
Mm-hmm. And Adam Pearce thanked what was his name, Drew Gulak, was Norman Smiley. And what's his face? Brian Kendrick. I think they all helped.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because it showed.
It showed. Bad Bunny, you know, Bad Bunny is a quick study.
Well, he's also like, you know, 100 pounds soaking wet.
Which, you know, which was probably the only thing that would dispel any suspension of disbelief. But his footwork was good. His technique was good.
Mm-hmm.
Miz selling it the way most fans sell any celebrity appearance. You know, what the fuck is he doing here? Then how the fuck is he doing this? How is he getting the better of me in the ring? the point that Morrison's like, you know, hey, you know, don't let him get in your head. You know, don't get mad, get smart.
Mm-hmm.
So Damian Priest for his WrestleMania debut had a very easy night because mm-hmm. Bunny put in the work, put in the prep. And the fans were digging it. Did you hear any booing?
None. Zero.
Nothing even to Bad Bunny anyway, because I, you know, one point Miz did get up on the corner and they booed the hell out of him.
Right.
Which is the correct response. But because Bad Bunny had prepared so well for this match, Damian Priest had a very easy night. And I hope this means better things for Priest going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, this match is going to turn into a trivia question. Just saying. It's going to be kind of like, you know, what was the, you know, who were the participants in the billionaires match at WrestleMania 23?
That was Umaga, Bobby Lashley, Steve Austin was the guest referee, and the ex-president of the United States was the enforcer.
Correct.
But
you thought you had to think about that
for about a half second, but yes. But I will say this. Bad Bunny doing a destroyer on the outside. Okay.
Everybody was like, what the?
Yeah.
Priest, even Priest, the man's 6'5", and his jaw actually made it all the way to the ground.
Mm-hmm. Bad Bunny did, you know, arm drags. He did drop kicks, I think.
Yeah.
He did Ranas.
He threw some decent work punches. And he joined Priest in a stereo spot doing a Falcon Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what the Broken Arrow is. But the Bunny Destroyer on the floor. You're going to see that. That's going to be replayed for years and years and years.
Mm-hmm.
So, huge props to Bad Bunny for his preparation and his professionalism and making this match work. Him and you mentioned Pat McAfee. Yeah, these are the two guys that all celebrities need to be measured up against if they want to do this. This is the level of preparation you are going to be required to have from here.
Exactly. Yep. So, to me, that was great. But then we get to the main event, and boy, did this live up to expectations. And we finally got the build we wanted to, of course, on WrestleMania night, dumbasses.
Yeah.
You know, talking about the historical significance, but they knew it. They knew it.
They knew it. It was glossed over in the pre-show, sadly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want this to come out wrong, but the announcers only mentioning this historical significance once, I was thankful for.
I understand why. Yes.
Because this should be normal. And I don't use that. I don't like using that word.
Mm-hmm.
This should be normalized. This is something that you shouldn't have to wave great big neon signs at.
No. No.
And these two delivered. You know I'm not a big Sasha Banks fan.
No, but they delivered.
But they busted their asses. This was a beautiful, beautiful match.
Mm-hmm.
And Bianca, I liked Bianca's side of the story, that she was just so overwhelmed being here and being part of history. Mm-hmm. The fact that she was, you know, I don't think she could see straight for the first 5 minutes of the match.
No. No, and Sasha was too, I think. For a moment.
Sasha was a little bit better at hiding it. Mm-hmm. But it was there. And both gals should be proud of themselves for what they, you know, what we got to see.
Yes, I agree. And I think the matches were safe tonight, if you understand what I mean. The matches that were good, okay? Mm-hmm. The matches that were bad were bad. I don't mean that we thought were going to be bad, excuse me. Okay?
Right, because we everybody on the podcast last night panned Shane and Braun because we don't care.
No.
Yeah, there was no reason for this match to be on the card. This is some, that should have been on SmackDown, not the armbar.
Yeah. To me, I thought the show was good. It wasn't great. It was good. Okay. I mean, I was only really, truly impressed by three matches. And, of course, this is all the work rate matches. Cesaro, Seth Rollins, Bad Bunny, Damian Priest, the tag match, and the main. Mm-hmm. You know?
You're right. These were the reason. You know, this is pretty much the reasons we were here.
And Drew had a good match, too, but it just... There was something off about it to me. You know?
I think it was first match jitters. Mm-hmm. This was the first match of the night, the first match in front of a live crowd in, as they said, a year, a month, and a day. Mm-hmm. And
what's sad is after this, they're going back to the Thunderdome.
Which is going to be hard. That's gonna be hard. Mm-hmm. Because day after Mania, that's another night that you gotta have a crowd. You gotta have real people. Mm-hmm. You gotta have that real reaction. That's gonna be hard. Mm-hmm. Now that you've had that taste.
Yeah.
You've had that taste of crowd's energy. Taste of a real crowd, not what you get at the Capitol Wrestling Center, and obviously not the Thunderdome.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that, but I will just say, to me, it was great to see a WrestleMania spectacle. The production, the live crowds, and all that sort of stuff. It was like an injection of reality. However, as I said, and as you said more precisely, going back to the Thunderdome on Monday is going to be, you know, it's going to be like, hey, we're free. No, we're not. So, you know? Mm-hmm. So there's that. Night two, let's just preview very quickly night two. We've made our predictions, but we'll just talk about the matches. Asuka versus Rhea Ripley for the WWE Raw Women's Championship. That's where somebody might show up. Who knows?
Yeah.
Okay. The Fiend versus Randy Orton, Big E versus Apollo Crews in a Nigerian drum fight for the IC title, Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn with Logan Paul, Riddle versus Sheamus, Nia versus Natalya and Tamina, and of course the match that everyone really cares about, Roman versus Edge versus Daniel Bryan. That is just going to be insane. So, mm-hmm. I think we'll be back tomorrow night, right? I think to wrap up night two.
Yeah, and if it turns out we do a live cap, we do a live cap. I didn't think we could coordinate one tonight, and that's why that didn't happen.
Let's see if we can, if we can do that. But yeah, so, Nikki, would you mind taking us home?
Absolutely. For the first night of WrestleMania, and it does look like these two night manias are here to stay.
You think so?
Given how many titles that you want to see defended, and how many people want to see so many people on the show,
it makes sense.
Not to mention all the extra money you make because you have to sell two tickets.
You're smart. Excuse me, Wrestle Kingdom on line one.
Yeah. but that's okay. You steal from the best.
Yes, exactly.
So, you know, night one was fun. I'm looking forward to night two. And I know we will both be in a comfortable spot with cold beverage and hot food to enjoy.
Or a hot beverage and cold food. You don't know.
Huh?
Tea, coffee, and cake?
Well, I figured you were going to have a cold beer and a cheeseburger.
or a hard cider, whatever.
Yeah, something like that. But yes, we'll definitely be back with night two's recap and see what further spectacle we can get from this year's WrestleMania. So for Jason Block, my name is Nikki Heyman. I hope you're enjoying WrestleMania. Do tune in. Let's continue watching and continue supporting this wonderful sport that we love. Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to the second night of WrestleMania, as it is just completed and we're here for our post-game show. My name is Nikki Heyman and fumbling around over there. Jason, are you still with me tonight?
I am. Not as impressed of tonight as I was last night, but there were some things that were good. One that was great, and the others were like, huh? Like the opening match. Well, okay. No, like before the opening match happened. Okay?
Okay.
Titus O'Neil and Hulk Hogan, who got booed out of Tampa, by the way, if you noticed that.
I muted. I wasn't even going to give him the audio.
Well, no, I'm giving him the audio for the reason. Because they were dressed in freaking pirates outfits. And poor Titus O'Neil was going, I got a big check for my charity. I'm just shutting up. Because you know he didn't want to do this. He did not want to do that. Anyway. So we open with Randy Orton versus The Fiend. Now, presentation means things. And there was so much good presentation within this, okay?
Yes.
We start with Randy Orton coming out as a full white meat baby face in white. I was like, wow! That was interesting.
I was a little baffled by white. That's one color I wouldn't expect him in. But then again, I've seen him in powder blue, so, you know.
But talk about The Fiend and the presentation leading up to it.
They obviously we went ahead and they did the video pack. They ran the video package again about all of the mind games that have been going on since TLC. And Alexa, of course, enjoying herself in taunting Randy Orton until the Fiend's return.
Come out and play.
So Orton doesn't understand the concept of play, or perhaps Alexa was just misspeaking and didn't say come out in pain. But indeed, the Fiend was still with us. And in his slow and deliberate walk towards the ring, he made sure,
or at least towards the box.
Yes, on his way to his Devil in a Box, which apparently is the origins of Jack in the Box.
It is. I looked it up. She wasn't kidding.
Legit.
Legit.
So in his slow, deliberate march across the dimensional aether to his receptacle, to his phylactery, to his proper entrance, added to this was to see him restored.
Healed, if you were.
Yes. As I said, he went back to his phylactery. He is a fiend.
She cast cure crit, I think.
Well, either that or the fiend is a lich. I'm not sure which one.
Or here's an anime reference for you. There was some equivalent exchange going on there.
Ooh. Good one.
There you go. There was a pentagram symbol.
There was. And by the way,
for those who don't know, that's a Full Metal Alchemist reference, which, by the way, great anime. But go on. So there was weirdness there. So what does Alexa do to summon the fiend one more time?
Well, we get ourselves a brand new full size, human size, for lack of a better description, Devil in a Box. Of course, you know, Alexa had come dancing out to Funhouse. But they had this wonderful devil in the box for her to go ahead and crank the giant crank. I hope that someday they put this in a WrestleMania mini museum thing the next time you go to an event, just so you can play with the crank. Mm-hmm. Alexa happily plays cranks it through one round of Pop Goes the Weasel. And indeed, the demon popped out. Excuse me, the fiend popped out. If it was the demon, I'd be bouncing a lot harder. Anyway. But the fiend, fully restored.
Different outfit, though, by the way.
Slightly different outfit, yes. And I'm curious. It seems that Wyatt's lost even more weight.
Mm.
But in the course of this, once the match was underway, the demon, the fiend, leapt off of the box and tackled Orton, getting this match underway. Orton's offense meant nothing.
For the most part, yeah. Until the end. When Alexa lost control of her magic, maybe? I don't know.
This is where it got a little confusing. Because the fiend set up for Sister Abigail, and we saw an eruption of flames. And I thought, ooh, how ceremonial. You know, you're the one who set me on fire. I may not be able to set you on fire because your baby oil, the baby oil on you would ignite. We saw the flames erupt, and apparently it was enough of a distraction that the fiend turned back to Sister Alexa, who sat atop the devil in the box. Oozing that black, viscous liquid.
Mm.
And looking down at the fiend somewhat distantly, maybe even disapprovingly.
Mm-hmm.
The fiend is confused, as is the rest of the fans in attendance. And Randy Orton beats him again.
And they disappear to the boos of the crowd. Which, opened the show with a... Yeah.
Well, it just opened the show with a huh.
Yeah,
because
with a huh.
I really, you know, this, I really wanted to see the Fiend get his revenge on Randy Orton and Randy go away for a little while. Now, that might just be my personal bias. But this should have been a feud ender.
Yes, not These a feud guys have, beginner.
Right. This feud has already been going on for 5 months, and this is the second or third time these guys have locked horns. I'm ready to see who's going to do what next. But unfortunately, these two will continue to be intertwined, and we're going to have at least 5 more weeks of it.
Sadly. Well, in a little bit of a shock, Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler defeated Natalya and Tamina by submission in 14 minutes and 20 seconds. This was an okay match. I just think the wrong people went over.
Not necessarily. I would have been a little, you know, don't get me wrong. I love Natalya and I can appreciate Tamina, but Tamina has not been able to stay healthy.
Right.
For an extended period of time to have a relevant story, you know, have anything relevant storyline wise. Mm-hmm. Natalya has been more or less irrelevant to the women's division for at least 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Them getting this title shot was out of nowhere enough. Winning it would have been cool, but I don't know. I think we will get a title change tomorrow night.
Okay.
We might get a tag title change tomorrow night because the turmoil match was not WrestleMania quality.
No, exactly. Neither was Kevin Owens defeating Sami Zayn with Logan Paul. It was less than 10 minutes, and they could have done so much more. It was just a setup for the angle at the end.
And that was even irrelevant. I mean, it was cool to see Kevin and Sammy go again, but they weren't going as hard, and they weren't going as, you know, what we remember.
Right.
And I had to have somebody point out to me, you know, why this whole thing, having Logan Paul there at all, was a bad idea.
Oh, it was a bad idea, because Logan Paul's a racist and an idiot.
I figured he was an idiot because he had such a big YouTube following, but I didn't realize how much of an idiot, so I did a little homework, and
yeah,
I didn't like what I read.
Oh, I'm sorry you had to go through that rabbit hole.
Well, it wasn't like I gave him any bandwidth.
Mm.
But Kevin stunning Logan Paul was a waste of WrestleMania time.
Yes.
There was really no reason for him to be there. I would have settled for them actually doing more of a feud with Kevin Owens, you know, something they kind of touched on more in the video package, where Kevin's like, this isn't the Sammy I know.
Right.
I don't know what's going on in his head. This is way, way, way overboard, even for Sammy.
Agreed. But then the card, again, like last night, the card got better. Okay?
Yeah.
Sheamus defeating Riddle. We expected this, but the ending was outstanding. Oh, that bro kick off the second rope. Woof. Caused Riddle to bleed, if you remember correctly.
It did. And I was really worried about this match because Riddle was getting some bonus rub, if you will.
Yes, from Daddy. I mean, RVD. Who handed him rolling papers, by the way.
How did he get away with that on camera? Oh, my gosh. You call me old-fashioned, but...
No!
Dude! Seriously. seriously, dude. You sure you want to be putting that on your program?
He gave it to Great Khali and goes, what do I do with this?
Yeah, Khali didn't know what it was.
RVD rolling papers.
I'll tell you what, he sold a whole bunch of them thanks to that split second promotion.
Mm-hmm. Of course, we saw some other commercials that, you know, a lot of the same commercials.
Yeah.
I thought there was something new. I forget what. But
the tour?
Oh, yes. Right. So, since we know they booked this, the evil boss, Dr. Levrescu, sort of followed up last night's show. Tell us about it.
Well, at first I thought this was going to be an ad for... The first instance, I thought it was an ad for WrestleMania in California because it had a movie tie-in. It made me think of Looper.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had Bad Bunny coming in from out of the desert.
Mm-hmm.
Hunter had in his hand a dark yellow case that at first some people thought might have been the Money in the Bank briefcase.
Yeah, I did too.
And Hunter said, you know, you did awesome last night, but now go do what you do best. Turns out the briefcase was a Pelican case.
You know of this thing.
A Pelican case is a specific hard case that is used in all sorts of film and entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
It's a durable case used to carry sensitive equipment. This is what most audio techs carry their gear in.
Mm-hmm.
This is what a lot of camera guys carry their lenses in.
Mm-hmm.
They're not cheap, but they're durable. Mm-hmm. They're almost indestructible, and they're worth every penny. So Bad Bunny opens it and discovers a very beautifully customized microphone.
The Triple H microphone.
Yes.
And it said Tour 2022 because he announced the El Ultimo Tour del Mundo 2022, which the tickets go on sale April 16th, this coming Friday, at 12 p.m. And the tour is going to run, of course, depending on COVID, protocols. But it's going to start February 9th in Denver and run through April 1st in Miami. And it's going to be in my area on March 19th. Not coming to your neck of the woods. Closest will be in Chicago, but yes. So the moral of the story is that Bad Bunny rehearsed 3 months to wrestle for a tour, for basically a long-ass commercial for his tour in 2022.
But to that, though, he still did the wrestling side of it right.
Yes.
To get praise from JBL, of all people.
Mm-hmm.
As JBL strikes me as somebody who does not like celebrity matches.
No. No, and I was about to say was, I mean, he even got the quote-unquote respect from The Miz, which was great. That was funny.
It was
a funny video. But, you know, it was a commercial for that. There was a commercial for W2K 2022. And Bayley, I love Bayley. They used her so well for not having her in the match, you know.
They gave her plenty of places to jump in and interrupt.
And be a total annoying you-know-what, which is... But it's great. It was great.
It was excellent. And, you know, this was enough for me to actually unmute the segment when she caught up with Hogan, Titus, and Eric Bischoff.
Oh, the one about the boat? That one?
Yeah.
Okay. No, there's also the one where she got beat up by the Bellas, but okay, fine.
No, that one remained on mute. I had no interest in what Nikki or Brie had to say.
Okay. What happened was is that so then we get Apollo Crews defeating Big E in the Nigerian drum fight, which didn't really mean much. It was a freaking street fight. Let's get real, okay?
Yeah, it was a street fight that had, you know, vague overtones of a symphony, you know, a symphony of destruction match, though they didn't go in and actually use the drums, and, you know, the gong went, once the gong was off the hinges, they just left it alone.
Right, and then, but it was also a setup to re-debut somebody. And, of course, I hate when the announcers go, who the hell is this guy? You know who it is, you just don't have a name yet.
So, yes, the returning Dabba Kato, who looks like he's dropped a little weight, if I recall some of his pictures in Supercard, looks like he's dropped a little weight. They still couldn't find a suit, find a uniform in his size.
Correct.
But he still crashed the match and beat the daylights out of Big E, who I want to apologize to Big E. I didn't realize that you had a charity on your costume.
Yeah, it was feeding. I think it was Feeding Tampa Bay, if I'm not mistaken, which is the local charity in the area. Yeah.
Right, because otherwise, Big E, you're from Tampa. What the hell are you doing wearing Miami colors?
No, I think what he may do, that could be auctioned off for charity, I'm guessing.
Potentially, yeah.
Mm-hmm. By the way, the rumored name of this character is going to be General Aziz of some sort.
Okay.
The one
For Dabba Kato.
For Dabba Kato. Okay. So then we get... Rhea Ripley, who got played in by Ash Costello of New Year's Day, defeating Asuka for the Raw Women's Championship. And this was a fun match. This was a fun match.
This is everything I wanted in a women's title match.
And this was going to happen last year, too, when she beat Charlotte, probably. When she would have beaten Charlotte, anyway.
Right. This was an excellent match, and nothing against New Year Day, but WWE still doesn't know how to mic a band.
No, they don't.
You had a year to go play with that. Mm. Anyway. Then again, they probably couldn't get into the building. But still, this was a very, you know, this was a very strong match. The two of them really showed up and showed out for this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very appreciative of the work that went into this, and congratulations to Rhea Ripley.
Mm.
And Rhea can show off her belt, because Becky's probably going to show up tomorrow night and say, hey,
mine.
You took that. Yeah, mine. I gave that to Asuka. She was supposed to keep it. What are you doing with it?
Pretty much. So I'm going to hand it off. I want you to just talk about the main. Because the main was the best match of the card of both nights, went the longest, told the best story, the whole nine yards. Go for it.
Because we have three guys who, in 2018, there was a point through the 2010s that we didn't think we were going to see any of these three in a ring by 2021. Daniel Bryan had retired because of concussion issues. Edge had been retired back in 2011 because of his neck. And of course we had Roman's leukemia issues.
Mm-hmm.
Edge found his way back in 2020, but injuries sidelined him. But we've been able to turn around and put him back on track. Roman, since his return in 2019, he has been just pushing himself and pushing himself and pushing himself. And after his break during the pandemic, he came back as this monstrous, domineering, no-nonsense, mafia boss. of a heel that has just has done nothing but raise the bar for SmackDown. With Heyman at one side and Jey Uso on the other, you cannot stop this man. The crowd, though, gave huge appreciation to all three coming down the ramp.
They booed Roman out of the building, though.
Actually, if you listen carefully, it was closer to a Cena pop when he came out.
Mm-hmm.
It was a mixed pop, but he had them all after him as the match progressed, since he made liberal use of Jey Uso. Took advantage of a lot of let's you and him fight, because Bryan and Edge were not on the same page.
You don't think so?
No. Let me go to the specific spot.
Okay.
They finally get Roman down for the count. Edge puts a crossface on Roman,
which was awesome. This was a great spot.
Roman's hand is up in the air, and it looks like it could come down. Bryan dives into the ring and grabs Roman's hand.
Yes.
And Edge is like, what are you doing? And Bryan is just defiant and wraps him in a crossface of his own.
Yes lock and a crossface, right. With, by the way, a piece of broken chair. Great improvisation, by the way.
Yes. Including a piece of one of the folding chairs, which in my head, for some reason at the moment, I thought that was a gimmicked planned spot, but I'll tell you what, I don't think it was, and I'm glad they used it.
Mm-hmm.
And then seeing Roman get cranked back by both of them was kind of cool and a little comical. Or maybe I'm just punchy because of all of this wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, Edge and Bryan both realized if Roman tapped, who would end up with the belt? Because if they both submit him, doesn't the tie go back to the champion? And that's when the headbutting started.
Yes.
Or the attempts at the headbutting, because Edge couldn't quite get all the way over and headbutt Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, then they got into each other and things broke down again. Leading up to Edge's concertos. And what happened after that? I think that's when Roman got up.
But
no,
the
Jay,
ending.
No, Jey came back. Jey came back.
Yeah, Jey came back. Yeah, Jey was taken out, came back. And then Roman did two concertos. Then what was it? Stacked them both up.
As he warned them,
mm-hmm,
that he was going to smash them, he smashed them both with concertos. He buckled Edge with a spear. Bryan was already too wiped out from the original concertos, but Roman just made sure.
Mm-hmm.
But he smashed him, then he stacked him, and he kept his title.
Boom.
And it was brilliant. It was well done. It was well played. It was exactly what we needed this main event to be, and that's not my Roman colored glasses.
So, as we wrap this up, how do you rank this? And what do you, I mean, and where do we go from here? Because to me, this is like a drug test, okay? Like a drug test, like we said, we got the fans back, okay?
Yeah.
We've got the fans.
Well, The sad part is that they're not going to have fans tomorrow night.
No.
We go back to Thunderdome, but they can look at these crowd reactions and figure out what they want to do next. They probably already have a few things already in place. As we're speculating right now, Fiend and Orton isn't done yet.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure what we're going to do with Roman. Not sure what we're going to do with Bobby. Although Backlash would suggest, as it used to be back in the early 2000s, sometimes you'd get a bunch of WrestleMania rematches.
Which I'd love to see. Okay.
But
there's one thing I would want to say.
What's that?
First of all, Ruby, you're appreciative of everything, too. Okay?
Yeah, come here, Ruby.
Okay. Thank you to the WWE for putting on two nights of outdoor wrestling with fans. I needed to see this. I needed to see that the WWE could do this. And it was great. It was wonderful.
It was well set up. It was well done. They had a little bit of bad luck with the weather yesterday, but...
Yep. And they were a little rusty, but you know what? They got back to it. There were no mistakes tonight from what I saw.
The only little slip we had was when Sheamus and Riddle were setting up for the white noise off the top.
Oh yes,
and Sheamus slipped. I'm okay with that. Sheamus recovered very quickly from it.
Mm-hmm.
He went ahead and just walked through the white noise and then did another aerial as an apology, and the crowd was kind.
Yes.
I did not hear a "you fucked up" chant, so I hope I'm right that didn't happen. So thank you, fans, if you did not do that.
Mm-hmm.
And fuck you if you did. But I also think a lot of the slipping and sliding the previous night was because they couldn't get everything dried off.
Mm-hmm.
But WWE were back in their comfort zone. They had fans. They had the stadium. They had everything that they're used to having when it comes to a WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. Fireworks. And having big productions.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, fans. And let's see. You know, there's WrestleMania actually has more questions than answers.
It does.
And we've got a lot to talk about on the next show, come either Thursday or Friday, because we're getting the post-WrestleMania Raw, new Tuesday night NXT, the first AEW
unopposed.
Unopposed. And Friday night SmackDown.
And with a little luck, we are trying to get DJ, who was at least at night one. I don't know if he went both nights.
No, but at least he was at night one. But how would you rate WrestleMania overall? I mean, well, thumbs up for the fact that it was back. Okay.
Right.
But thumbs in the middle for the wrestling, I would say.
It was one of those situations where, you know, the boat metaphor actually applies here. They were getting back on the real boat.
Right.
And it takes a little bit to get your sea legs again. So, and just the distraction, and I don't want to use that negatively, but the distraction of having real fans. That's something else that the guys are going to have to get used to again. That energy is there, and that energy is tangible. It's palpable. It's available.
And the fans wanted it so bad.
Oh my gosh, they did. The fans wanted it so bad, and they were just they everybody was so happy to be there that even if the wrestling wasn't up to snuff, everybody still had a good time. I've only heard two minor incidents, and one of them I think is just some internet trolling. Day one, somebody in the upper bowl had posted a video of a guy who got kicked out because there was a because of the delay at the beginning of the show. He started running around and ripping up the cutouts.
For real.
So they caught him and they kicked him out. 5 minutes later, show started. So, dumbass. Then there's some troll on Twitter whose handle I'm not even going to mention. You can go look for this if you want. Claiming he got in and he said he had COVID.
I don't believe it.
I don't either. So, fuck you, sir.
Believe me, I don't think so.
No.
I don't believe it for a damn second. I think he was drunk, and I think he was an idiot.
I think he was baiting. He was pretty much Twitter baiting.
Did people take it?
From what you saw? I didn't. I only read three or four things, and where he started getting stupid with it, and I just closed the thread.
Okay.
So no. But yeah, I enjoyed WrestleMania. I think from an in-ring standpoint, some stuff is not going to stand up to other WrestleManias. From a production standpoint, you know, this was the year they could really, you know, go all out because they had all of the newer tech, all the stuff that they got thanks to the Fox deal. Which is why they were doing the crazy stuff like the ghost ship and the giant pirate skeleton. So, production was up. Performance was in the middle. But the normalcy of this spectacle is worth every penny, every minute. And I don't want people to forget that down the line when we get back to real WrestleManias and real shows.
Which will be probably 2022. Ain't gonna be this year.
No. But we're getting there, folks. We are getting there. We just need to be a little more patient.
But, Nikki, thank you so much for just giving us the post-game show. It actually felt better to just get back to sea legs of this.
Yes.
You know, because I don't think we could have done 2 4-hour recaps, but this is kind of fun. You know?
Yeah, this was good. I don't think I would have been able to make it through a live cap.
No.
No offense to the rest of our crew at NAWC. And I like this hot take immediate post game show.
Yeah, I like that. I mean lots of other places do it. Why can't we? We're like 5 years late, but why not? Why not? Better late than never. But exactly. But yeah, so why don't we take us home and why don't we just get we need to start taking notes for Thursday or Friday. Good grief.
We do. But we need to yes, as somebody reminds me also that we will also need to take notes for Broken Skull Sessions with Jericho.
Yes, because he did talk about it. Like, it is about 90-10, as we expected.
Mm-hmm.
Because they brought up, according to what I'm reading, they brought it up right at the gate.
Good.
They talked
just to get it out there.
Yep. Exactly. Just to get it out there. So.
So yeah, something to keep an eye on. Plus, obviously, you know, when we get to the NAWC, we will recap this recap.
Well, yes, yeah, because we have to.
And just to see where do we go from here, especially now that we have a full week of unopposed wrestling. Now that NXT is on Tuesday, AEW doesn't have to deal with NXT. Impact's on Thursdays, which means we can definitely start focusing on recording that night. Oh, did I say that out loud?
What did you just say? I'm sorry, I was actually prep. What did you say?
Baby steps.
Baby steps, okay.
So, yes. For Jason Block, my name is Nikki Heyman. This has been our post-WrestleMania recap. Do tune in Thursday or Friday, well, whenever we get our collective acts together, to go back over WrestleMania and its fallout to see what's going to happen next.